Time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to have former Major League pitcher Clayton Richard on here in just a couple minutes here. Then we're going to wrap it up at 9:45 with Mike Popensky, the Purdue Athletic Director. As always, if you have any comments or questions, 659-3338 or 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. So with that being said, let's say good morning to Clayton Richard. Clayton, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Doing just fine. How's everything on West Lafayette?
Terrific. Everything's going well here.
Oh, good. So I guess the big thing is that you've decided to retire from the major leagues right now.
Well, I've told people I don't think I can retire.
Okay.
But I'm not playing, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. So finding some other options to fill time and help out around the community, and found a really good couple options here at Lafayette Jeff.
And those being being the quarterbacks coach for the Broncos, and then also being the head baseball coach over there.
Yes. Super excited to take on both tasks, and it's just a great opportunity to give back some of what I've learned and experienced. And it's a great community that I'm very fortunate to have grown up in, and I want to be able to share some of those athletic experience I've gone through and share them the best way I can with our young student athletes moving forward.
How many years did you wind up being in the major leagues, assuming that you're not going to go back? How many years were you there as of right now?
Actual service time, I was just under 10 years. I think I was 9 years, so many days. I did parts of 11 or 12 seasons, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, Which one of those did you really like amongst all of those?
What team?
Yeah.
I would say I grew up watching the Cubs on TV. I remember watching like Mark Grace, Ryan Sandberg, all those guys. So that was really special being able to play there for the year I was there. And then, I was in San Diego for the majority of my career. So there's a special place in my memories and heart for San Diego, and then I first came up with the White Sox. So it's hard to pick one because they'll have very unique memories to me and meant something special, but they're all a little bit different.
So I guess not having come over here while you were in high school, I did not know that you were you were playing football back in, what, 2002?
Yes, I played through high school, and that's actually why I went to Michigan for school, was to play quarterback.
Okay. And then this little thing called baseball came along and kind of took over things, didn't it?
It did. I'd played all three sports, football, basketball, and baseball in high school. And I was fortunately good enough in football and baseball to take it further. And I went to Michigan knowing that I wanted to play both, but I also knew that I wanted to be the starting quarterback. So I gave that the first go, like spending all my time the first year there devoted to football and attempting to win that starting job. And when I did not get the opportunity that I was working for, I looked up baseball and went over there to play for that next season.
Any particular reasons why did you think that you did not get that opportunity to do football, which is your first love and dream?
It's not necessarily my first love and dream. It was what I felt was my best opportunity in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You'd have to ask the coaches there, because I never quite understood it. but it was something where it just didn't happen. And sometimes in life you have those situations that aren't how you drew them up, but you have to make adjustments and do what you can with what you're given. I understand you can only worry about what you can control. And that was a good lesson for me to learn in that moment was I don't have control if I get playing time or not, but I do have control of how I prepare, what type of teammate I am, what type of player I am. Mm-hmm. That was a good lesson for me in that moment.
Who was the football coach at Michigan when you were up there?
Lloyd Carr.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think that says it all right there. I just never was a big Lloyd Carr fan. Not saying he couldn't coach. I just was not a huge Lloyd Carr fan. So
neither are my parents.
Yeah, I can understand why. So, but then you got into baseball, and then it kind of just took over, didn't it, a little bit?
It did. I went to Michigan, and everyone there understood that I was going to get the. We made sure we were clear that I had the opportunity to play both sports when I got there. That was part of the recruiting process that we wanted to make sure because I knew I loved both sports and I did not want to restrict myself from one or dedicate myself to one. I wanted to be able to play both. And fortunately, before we went there, we made that agreement and that's what we did. After that, the first 2 years of football, I went ahead and played baseball and got drafted after that season and with the White Sox in 2005, and that's where I went and tried to attack that goal, being a Major League Baseball player.
What was the thing that you kind of knew coming, when you really didn't think you were going to get a chance to play football and then going over to baseball, what was the thing that really told you that, I think this is the sport I really was meant to be in?
I don't think I ever had it because I really, and it's tough to say now, being removed from it for so long, I felt the same way about football. I just didn't get the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And with baseball, it's a little bit easier to get the opportunity. If you're pitching, you have, in professional baseball, you have 5 starting pitchers. You have quite a few guys in the bullpen. So your opportunities are greater. They're enhanced. Being a quarterback in football, usually one guy gets the snaps on game day. Mm-hmm. So those opportunities are somewhat limited. But I remember going to Notre Dame. I think we were ranked pretty high. We were going into Notre Dame and we were heavily favored. And I was told I was going to get some snaps at quarterback that day. And I was super excited going through the week because I was getting more snaps with the number ones. And Coach Carr came in and told me I was going to get some snaps, some significant playing time when we got there. So we went in, I stood right next to Coach Carr the whole game, and that's where I stood the whole game. I never got the opportunity to get in there, and from that day forward, I could kind of see, because we lost that game, and I could tell that they were going to stick with Chad Henne no matter what happened. They're just going to kind of ride that out, and that's what they did.
So then after that, you basically just said, okay, that's going to be about getting close to the end and then just starting to really concentrate hard on baseball, I take it, about that time.
Well, I stuck out football through the season. I stayed focused on being the best teammate and doing all the work I could to improve as a quarterback. But as soon as the year was over, I did join up with the baseball team. As soon as the Rose Bowl was done, flew back to Ann Arbor and got to work going to play baseball.
Okay. How's the best way to tell exactly what baseball is nowadays? I'm sure it's a little bit different now from when you played, or is it just still the same, or is it exactly where is it at as far as a sport overall?
It's in a good place. I think that at the highest level, there's a lot of exciting, talented, young baseball players in the game right now, and that's good for everyone when we have that at the top level. And it's a fun brand of baseball to watch. You have Shohei Ohtani, who's, I don't know that there's a more talented baseball player in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could argue that someone else has been more talented. He throws 100. He's really fast. He's one of the, I think he's second in the major leagues in home runs. His offensive numbers are through the roof. There's no one that's done that. I mean, Babe Ruth did it a long time ago, but it wasn't, he didn't even do it to the level that Otani's doing it this year. And I hope people kind of realize that that's something really special is going on, in the big leagues right now, and take advantage of watching it, because you may never see anything like it again.
Are you surprised that he has been able to do what he has done so far this year?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I know that when he came over, there was some hype because he was doing special things in Japan, but everyone kind of just assumed that once he got here and the grind of a big league schedule, playing every day and not having that one day off a week and being on the five-man rotation, there was a lot of hurdles that he'd have to overcome, and they doubted he'd be able to perform at that level here, and he has eclipsed people's anticipation of how talented he is. It's really special to watch.
I noticed in the standings that your one of your former teams, the White Sox, is really doing well this year. Are you a little surprised with Tony La Russa back in there or not?
No, I mean, they're a super talented team. They are really good. A lot of young talent. Some key veteran players, Lance Lynn and Jose Abreu. Like, they're just a solid team all around, and they're built to win, and they're showing it. They play baseball hard, and they're really, really good.
You know, and to me, it seems like somebody who's 76, I think that's how old La Russa is now, can still somewhat, you know, get to those kids at that level, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
Right. Well, when you have a collective vision and you have guys that are willing to buy in to win, and that's at the end of the day, that's all that matters. The age, the anything else, anybody's background is put to the side when you can have a collective vision and everyone believes they want to get to the same place. Those other differences are somewhat muted, and you can go about your day understand that, hey, if we all want to get to the same place, we can trust each other's intent and believe that they desire it as much as I do. And when you have that culture, it makes everything else go a little bit smoother.
Having played over at McCutchen throughout your high school career, how difficult is it going to be to kind of be rooting against him when you're out there with Jeff?
Well, I'll never root against them. I'll want to beat them when we play against them. But that's something that I've never understood, when people say they root against their rival or they root against somebody. As well, if you do view them as your rival and you're rooting against them, like, what sense is it to have a rival that loses all the time? That just makes you look bad. You don't want a rival that's not competitive and not good. So I want them to be as good as possible, and then want to beat them when we get the opportunity to play them. And that's my philosophy. I have a tough time seeing it the other way, where you root for someone to lose. I've never had that mindset, and I hopefully never adopt that mindset.
Anything else that you're going to definitely try and do in your new roles over there at Jeff?
I just want to share my experiences the best I can and create relationships to where I can help mentor young student athletes become better versions of themselves, and do that consistently over the next few years, and hopefully longer than a few years, and create an atmosphere, a culture, an environment for our young student athletes to prosper. I want that more than anything. I want to develop our youth program in baseball here in our community, so more kids are getting the opportunity to play baseball, especially at the lower levels, where some kids that have the financial struggles and disadvantages, where they may not have something at home that can provide them with the discipline and structure that hopefully we can provide them with that on a baseball field. We can create an environment that has the facilities and the mentors, the volunteer coaches that can really impact the youth in the community to provide something better for them and a foundation for them to learn from and grow off of. And so if I'm able to do some of that here moving forward, I think those will be goals in which I can be proud of the work we've accomplished.
I know as of, being a quarterback, and then also the fact that Jeff has had a high profile offense here in the last several years. Is that going to change the way, is your role going to just be do what you can, empower them with what you know and then go on from there, or what, you got to try and do something else?
Yeah, well, I'm just the quarterback coach. We have Coach Shanley, who's been the offense coordinator for a while, and he's given that to Coach Turnerspeed, who's going to be the offense coordinator. We have a passing games coordinator. So I'm just the quarterback coach. Mm-hmm. I'm working with our guys, our small group, and sharing what knowledge I have with them and trying to help them be more successful and do what I can to be a sounding board for them. I kind of understand what they're going through. It's a hard position to play. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot to learn. So many things happen so quickly. And I think I'm not too far removed to understand it's tough to do and be a sounding board for them, help them mentally get through it, and then provide them with some small physical things that can push them forward a little bit.
You know, we started this conversation with you. You know, you may not be done yet. What would pique your interest in wanting to go back to Major League Baseball?
I don't see that happening. It's a realistic view. Okay. I would love it, but I'm sold out to be helping out here at Lafayette, Jeff, with the quarterbacks and with the baseball team, and however I can within the community. And that's really where mine's at. That's what I'm focused on now, and I'm driven to improve, and I think that we're making good strides, and I can't wait for the next few years to see where it takes us.
Okay. Clayton, is there anything else you want to add or bring up before I let you go?
No, I think we're excited about this opportunity, and there's a lot of good things happening for us now and here in the near future, and we're excited to get going.
Okay. Clayton, I really appreciate the time. Best of luck to you and your family, and best of luck to you over there. Jeff, you take good care, and we'll probably catch a little bit later on down the line, okay?
Terrific. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Bye-bye. That's been Clayton Richard, who is now the quarterbacks coach and the head baseball coach over at Lafayette. Jeff, he's been our guest. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Philo's getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfort. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and WILO Program Director Kevin Keith for Ahora Clinton County, or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich, no. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to our first guest, is Clayton Richard, the former baseball pitcher in the major leagues with four different teams. Now he's going to be the baseball coach up at Lafayette Jeff and also be the quarterbacks coach over at Lafayette Jeff coming this fall. Wishing the best of luck and everything that's going on. Let's take a look at some pro sports for right now. Tonight, game five of the NBA championship takes place as the Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks are tied two games apiece. Both teams have won the first two games of this series, both of them at home. Phoenix had a great chance to win game four, but let it get away from them. So it'll be interesting to see how they play tonight. Game five tonight starts at 9 o'clock on ABC. Major League Baseball results from yesterday. In the National League, the Cubs won out at Arizona last night by a score of 5-1. Kyle Hendricks got his 12th win of the year. The Giants defeated the Cardinals by a score of 7-2. It was Milwaukee over Cincinnati, 11-6. It was Philadelphia over Miami in the first game of a twin bill, a score of 5-2. Pittsburgh defeated the New York Mets by a score of 4-1. This actually sounds like a football score. San Diego defeated Washington by a score of 24-8. Looks like they had three touchdowns, three two-point conversions, and the other was the two-point conversion for Washington. So 24-8 last night, San Diego defeated Washington. I would not have want to have the over-under in that particular game. The second game of the Miami-Philadelphia doubleheader, Miami won that one 7-0. And also it was Los Angeles over Colorado 10-4. In interleague play last night, it was Tampa Bay over Atlanta in 10 innings by a score of 7-6. American League last night, it was Houston over the White Sox by a score of 7-1. Minnesota and Detroit had a doubleheader scheduled. That was postponed due to weather up in the Motor City last night. Boston continued to give the Yankees a problem as they defeated the Yanks 4-0 in the Bronx last night. It was Toronto over Texas by a score of 10-2. Kansas City defeated Baltimore 9-2 last night. Seattle defeated the LA Angels by a score of 6-5. And Cleveland lost to Oakland by a score of 5-4. As far as games today in the National League, the Cubs played the Diamondbacks at 4:10 out at in the desert this afternoon. Then also tonight at 7:15, you have the Giants and the Cardinals. That game is on Fox. And then also at 7:15 tonight, you have Houston and the White Sox getting together. That game's on Fox as well. At 7:10 tonight, you have the Brewers against the Cincinnati Reds. That game starts at 7:10. As far as tomorrow is concerned, Milwaukee and Cincinnati get together at 1:10 on Sunday. Houston and the White Sox get together at 2:10. Giants and Cardinals get together at 2:15, and tomorrow afternoon at 4:10, the Cubs are on the road against Arizona. National League baseball standings for right now in the let's go with the American League first, because Boston is tied with the Houston Astros now for the best record in the American League. Both are 56-36. Boston is a game and a half ahead of Tampa Bay. They're 8 ahead of Toronto, and they're 9 ahead of the New York Yankees. And those are the top four teams in the American League East. Baltimore sits at the bottom at 28-62. In the Central Division, the White Sox have a commanding 8-game lead on Cleveland. White Sox are at 54-36, while Cleveland is 45-43. Those are the only two teams in the Central Division above 500, as Detroit, Minnesota, and Kansas City are all at least 11 games under 500 as they go into action today. In the West for right now, The Houston Astros are at 56-36, with 3.5 ahead of Oakland right now, sitting at 53-40. Seattle is in third at 49-43. They're 7 games back. And the LA Angels are at 500 right now. They're at 45-45, is 10 games behind. In the National League East, the New York Mets have a 3-game lead in the East over Philadelphia. They're sitting at 47-41. The Phillies have played a little bit better here recently. They're now at 45-45. They're 500. The Braves sit in third at 44-46. They're 4 games back, and the Nationals are sitting at 6 games back at 42-40. And even Miami is sitting at in the basement there at 40-51. They're only 8.5 games behind the Mets. So, you know, that technically everybody's alive and well in the East. Maybe I shouldn't say well, but at least they're alive. In the Central Division, the Milwaukee Brewers have a commanding 5-game lead on Cincinnati. The Brewers are 54-39. As we said, that's 5 games up on the Reds, who are at 48-43. The Cubs are sitting under 500 for thanks to a nice 11-game losing streak they had. They're at 45-46. They're 8 games behind, and the Cardinals are at 44-47. They're 9 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers. Out west, San Francisco, which has the best record in Major League Baseball at 58-32. That's good enough for a 2-game lead on the Dodgers, who have the second-best record in baseball at 57-35. They're now 6 ahead of San Diego, who's 54-40. Those are the only 3 teams out west that are ahead of, above 500, because Colorado's next at 40-52. Arizona's sitting way down to the line there at 26-67. They're only 33.5 games out of first place. So I think their season's kind of done right now. So anyway, that's a look at baseball in the NBA. Also going on this weekend is the Open Championship over in England, which has started today. Louis Oosthuizen has the lead. He's 11 under par. He shot 6 rounds of 64-65. That's an open record. He leads Colin Murakawa by 2 shots after Murakawa shot a very similar round of 64 yesterday. Jordan Spieth is at third at 8 under. Then we have a four-way tie. It is here for third. Dylan Fratelli, Dustin Johnson, Scotty Scheffler, it's on a three-way tie. They're all at 7 under. At 6 under, you have Daniel Van Tonder, Emilio Grillo, Marcel Siem, and Andy Sullivan, along with Justin Harding. They're all at 6 under. And tied for 12th at 5 under is Paul Casey, Brooks Koepka, Mackenzie Hughes, John Rahm, and Cameron Tringali. Those are the top 16, 17 there at the Open right now. Not saying somebody can't come out, because there's another 8 at 4 under. But right now, Oosthuizen's got the lead at 11 under par through 2 rounds of the Open. One thing that's kind of interesting is that I'm trying to find it here throughout the list. I'm not finding it right now. I was looking to see exactly where our favorite, there's DeChambeau. He just made the cut at one over par. He has had rounds of 71 and 70, but he's getting all the bad comments and all the bad press he can think of, because of what's going on over there. He's at one over par through the first 2 rounds of the Open Championship. We're going to take a break right now and get back to some other sports. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper.